Good evening. Good to see you. Thank you so much for coming back tonight. Appreciate your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. And we are tonight going to be in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Paul, the writer of Ephesians to the church at Ephesus. And we're looking at chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. Still dealing with the subject of worship. Trying to learn to be better worshipers, since that's what God has saved us to be. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for the privilege to be back again tonight in your house among your people. God, we pray that you would help us with the opening of your word to our minds and our hearts, that you would speak to us clearly, and God, that you would be glorified in all that is said and done, and we will thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen. Verse 17. Ephesians 5. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear or the reverence of God. That's God's word, and all God's people said, Amen. It seems to me that what Paul is saying here in this passage is that if we are going to rightly, correctly worship God in a way that He will accept our worship and our worship will be pleasing to Him, then it needs to be Spirit-filled worship. Or those who are worshiping must be Spirit-filled. Let me make a clarification at the outset here. Spirit-filled has nothing to do with getting more of the Spirit. It's not what that means. To be filled with the Spirit doesn't mean we're getting more of the Spirit. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your heart immediately, completely, and permanently. Say amen. Paul says to the church at Rome in chapter 8, verse 9, now if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And the Spirit is God, right? So God cannot be chopped up so that you get part of God and not all of God. So this is not about you getting more of the Spirit. This is not a second work of grace, where you have some of the Spirit and you get more of the Spirit. It's not anything like that. The Spirit of God lives inside of every born-again believer. Say amen. So if you're here tonight born again, saved by the grace of God, you have in you the Spirit of God and you have all the Spirit of God in you. Say amen. But there is a difference between being indwelt by the Spirit and being filled by the Spirit. And the verse here, verse 17, begins with a command against drunkenness, right? You see that? Literally, Paul says, stop getting drunk on wine. That doesn't mean you're getting drunk on something else, right? All right, I didn't get drunk on wine. I got drunk on Jim Beam. The command means what it says, right? Do not get drunk. And can we agree tonight as a church that Christians ought not get drunk? Well, at least we have some common point of reference. Instead of being filled with wine, instead of being drunk on wine, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. Stay filled with the Spirit. Don't keep getting drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Keep being filled with the Spirit. So I want to give you four things tonight as we walk through this text about Spirit-filled worship. Number one, look at verse 18. Let's notice the contrast here of Spirit-filled worship. And I alluded to it here in just a moment ago. Being filled with the Spirit is not the same as being spiritually intoxicated. Have you heard that before? Instead of being drunk with wine, you are to be drunk with the Spirit. That's not what he says. Instead of being intoxicated with the wine, you should be intoxicated with the Spirit. That's not what Paul says, because a drunk person is under the influence. Say amen? And so a Spirit-filled Christian is under the influence of the Spirit. But the two realities are very, very different. Notice here, there is a prohibition against drunkenness that is in contrast to being filled with the Spirit. So an intoxicated person loses control of themselves, say amen. But someone that is filled by the Spirit has better self-control. Does that make sense? So he's not saying be intoxicated. He's saying be filled with the Spirit. Not be out of control, but be in better control of yourself. Let me say it another way. Alcohol is a depressant. Being filled of the Spirit is a stimulant. It does not make you lose control. It gives you power to control yourself. And Lord knows we all need power to control ourselves. Say amen. Being filled with the Spirit enables the believer to live more obediently, more worshipfully, more sincerely, and more faithfully. Say amen. Verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And the Greek word here, translated excess, is the word that means reckless abandon or debauchery. Do not be drunk with wine to the level of debauchery or to reckless abandon. Literally, it means to nullify or make ineffective. Now here's the deal. As I mentioned this morning, this kind of living does not merely damage your testimony, it negates salvation altogether. It contradicts salvation. A Christian who is being drunk on wine contradicts their profession. Say amen. It doesn't just damage your testimony. It contradicts that they're saved altogether. Yes? It proves a lack of salvation. So Christians should not get drunk, or should they engage in anything that would contradict their salvation. Say amen. Now, number two, the call to Spirit-filled worship. The call to Spirit-filled worship. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with wine to the level of debauchery, but instead you need to what? Be filled with the Spirit. So here's the call. Here's the call of God through Paul. Be filled with the Spirit. And here's what we do typically in independent Baptist churches. We usually focus on what we're not to do instead of focusing on what we are to do. They're both here, right? Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And we'll focus on don't get drunk, but we don't focus at all on be filled with the Spirit. The verb filled means to bring something to its level of containment. To fill this bottle would be to fill it to its level of holding this liquid. Say amen. To its level of containment. Everything that this bottle could contain, we would fill it, and its being filled would bring it to that level. When we use it metaphorically, it donates totality. Something that is filled has no room for anything else. That's what he's saying. Be filled to the point that you have no room for anything else with the Spirit. Say amen. To be filled with something is for that thing to be the dominating presence, the controlling influence, and the driving force of your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? And you can be filled with various things, right? Luke 2:40 says, Jesus was filled with wisdom. Luke 4:28 says, Nazareth was filled with wrath. Acts 13:45 says the opponents of Paul were filled with jealousy. In 2 Corinthians 7:4, Paul claims to be filled with comfort. In 2 Timothy 1:4, Paul says he will be filled with joy to see Timothy again. Scripture commands us to be filled with the Spirit. The Lord has not given the Spirit to merely live in you. The Spirit should control you and be the authority in your life. Say amen. So we all know that we have the Spirit of God indwelling us, but that's not simply what the Lord says. The Bible says that this Spirit that lives in us should control us and should have authority over us. Say amen. The New Testament never instructs Christians to be baptized by the Spirit. It doesn't. It never instructs Christians to be indwelt by the Spirit or be sealed by the Spirit or gifted by the Spirit or anointed by the Spirit. Those things all happen when you're saved. When you're saved, you're baptized by the Spirit. When you're saved, you're indwelt by the Spirit. When you're saved, you're sealed by the Spirit and gifted by the Spirit and anointed by the Spirit. But when you're saved, you're not filled with the Spirit. So God commands us to be filled by the Spirit. And we never want to talk about that. We would rather say, I don't drink, I don't get drunk, but do not these two commands carry the same weight? Yes? Does not me not getting drunk carry the same weight as me being filled with the Spirit? So if I am not being filled with the Spirit, isn't it just as sinful for me as a Christian to not be filled with the Spirit as it is to be drunk with wine? They're both commands. They're both commands of the Lord. To break one is a sin. Say amen. Do you get what I'm saying? We sit here and never think about and never involve ourselves in being filled with the Spirit, and we think we're better than those who are getting drunk when we are sinning ourselves. Yes? If you came to church tonight and the ushers that were taking up your tithes and offerings, if they reeked of liquor, should you not be offended? Yes? If you're in church, I'm not saying if you're at a concert or you're at a ball game or whatever. If you're at church and the people that are taking up the offering, when they come by, you smell liquor on their breath, should you not be offended? Some of you, yes. Some of you, no. Maybe some of you just want to open up the bar and go for it. If the song leader can't get the words out for the song because he's drunk from alcohol, should you not be offended? If I had to be helped up the stairs to the pulpit because I was so drunk I couldn't stand without holding on to this pulpit, should you not be offended? Of course you should. Why? Because the Bible says, be not drunk with wine. But should you not equally be offended that the ushers are ushering, the singers are singing, the preachers are preaching, without being filled with the Spirit of God? And should you not be equally appalled and offended that your brothers and sisters are sitting here not being indwelt or not being filled with the Spirit of God? You see how we do things? We focus on one at the expense of the other, and they're both equal weight. God commands all Christians to be filled with the Spirit. Every Christian husband, every Christian wife should be filled with the Spirit. Every Christian parent, every Christian child should be filled with the Spirit. Every Christian employee and every Christian employer should be filled with the Spirit. That's what Paul goes into later, right, in this chapter. All Christians, whether individual Christians or collective Christians, are commanded by God to be filled with the Spirit. Just as equal as he says, don't be drunk with wine. And we're appalled and offended at one and not the other. The filling of the Spirit is not a permanent event. It is to be repeated continually. It is a repeated, continual experience in the believer's life because, guess what? We all leak. Some of us leak more than others. As you get older, you leak a lot. Say amen. But as believers, we leak too. It's true of every single believer. Because isn't it true that our minds can be on the things of God one second and the things of the world the next? But when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin in your attitude or in your words, you need to repent, submit yourself again to what? To the filling of the Spirit. This command to be filled with the Spirit is in the passive voice, which means that the Spirit's filling is the work of God and not yours. You can't fill yourself. It is your duty to submit to this command, but you must ask God to do it for you. There has to be the seeking of this filling. And it happens in humble submission, not human achievement. Commanding someone does not enable them to do it. So the Bible commanding you to be filled with the Spirit doesn't do it. You cannot do it on your own. But the good news is the Holy Spirit is more than willing to fill you, more than you are wanting to be filled. Number three. Not only do we see the contrast here, be drunk with wine. Be not drunk with wine. Skip that. Don't be not drunk with wine. I think things would go better if we did it that way, but be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. That's the contrast, that's the call on every believer to be filled with the Spirit. Number three, I'm hurrying, the conditions of Spirit-filled. Now here's the problem. Ephesians 5:18 commands us to be filled with the Spirit, but it does not tell us how. Doesn't tell us how. In fact, I can't find any scripture, except the one I'm going to give you, that teaches us how to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible doesn't say we ought to pray for it. The Bible doesn't tell us we ought to wait for it. The Bible doesn't tell us to let somebody lay hands on us and receive it. It does not even say that you must want to be filled. So how does a Christian become filled with the Spirit? And this is what I think. This is what I find. Colossians 3:16. This is what Paul says to the church at Colossae. Listen carefully. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, doesn't that sound an awful lot like Ephesians 5:18? Say amen. The thing that's different, it's almost word for word, but the thing that's different is Ephesians says, be filled with the Spirit, and Paul says to the Colossian church, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So I'm thinking they're the same. How are you filled with the Spirit? By letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Being Spirit-filled, I think, is the result of obedience to the Word. F.B. Meyer said this, God does not fill with His Holy Spirit those who believe in the fullness of the Spirit or those who desire Him, but those who obey Him. Close quote. So, when we are disobedient, we are grieving the Spirit, right? We are grieving the Spirit's presence. We are quenching the Spirit's work. But when we obey, the Holy Spirit will give you strength as strength is needed. So I think a person who lives the Word of God is a person who is filled with the Spirit of God. So the more you hear the Word, the more you read the Word, the more you study the Word, the more you memorize the Word, the more you meditate on God's Word in the process of being obedient to it, the more you are filled by the Spirit of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. I think that's how we are filled with the Spirit. Say amen. If it is the work of the Spirit to fill you, please give Him something to work with. What is it that you need to give Him to work with? The Word of God. Say amen. As He helps us, as He enables us to understand it and be obedient to it, the more we are obedient to it, I think, the more the Spirit of God fills us. You with me? Last thing, number four. The characteristics of Spirit-filled. Verse 19. This is what it looks like if we are spiritually filled, according to Paul. This is what worship looks like in a spiritually filled congregation. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves, speaking to one another in the congregation, in what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Those are the characteristics exhibited and displayed and demonstrated by those who are filled with the Spirit. Say amen. Now notice the first characteristic of this Spirit-filled life is worship. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Can we agree that being filled with the Spirit seems, from Paul's definition here, to put a song in your heart? But that song will not be for you. Say amen. Spirit-filled worship addresses one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are to sing to one another. We are to speak to one another through song, the song that comes from our hearts. Speak to one another through songs, instructing one another in who God is and what God has done through Christ. Spiritually filled people don't sing to put their talents on display. Say amen. Colossians 3:16 again says, we are to be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And let me tell you something, there are those here in this church who don't sing at all. Say amen. We are to sing so that others may hear us. Say amen. We say, well, I don't want to sing very loud because I can't sing very well. You are to make a joyful noise to the Lord. You are to, Bob sits behind me, and Kelly, and Bobby, and Doris, and Tom, and Beth, and Kate, they sit right there. They can hear me sing. I am to sing so they can hear me. Say amen. So that I can teach them and admonish them through the songs that we sing about the things of God. Say amen. That's what Paul says. Yes? Spiritually filled worship is about singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, and God is the subject and He is the object, but worship has to come from the heart again, right? So I know I don't sing well. I was talking to the senior class. We were talking about singing in church, and I told them that I don't sing. I know my lane, and I stay out of that lane. Say amen. But I said, if I did sing, I could sing because God says, make a joyful noise. And if there's anywhere, I sing best in the shower. But if there's anywhere that I should sing, if there's anywhere that I should sing, it's in the church. Because I'm commanded to sing in the church as evidence of being spiritually filled from my heart. Not to be heard. What I should do is sing so that all of you can hear me. And then when we're done, apologize to you. Say amen. The message was great, but the delivery was bad. So it really doesn't matter how beautiful your voice is or how not beautiful your voice is, because God is not pleased with our worship if it does not come from a heart that is filled with the Spirit. A second characteristic here, not just singing, instructing, admonishing one another as we sing to one another, to the glory of God, about Him. We don't sing about ourselves, we sing about Him. Say amen. But the second characteristic is in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, being filled with the Spirit of God means that we are to give thanks to God the Father in the name of God the Son. So giving thanks, being thankful, being grateful, and expressing that thankfulness, say amen, expressing that thankfulness in the church in some way is an essential mark of being Spirit-filled. Complaining, grumbling, whining, and fussing are not characteristic of being filled with the Spirit. Spirit-filled people are grateful and they thank God. How often? Always. Unceasingly. Spirit-filled people thank God unconditionally. We thank God always for all things. That's what we do if you're Spirit-filled, right? The only way that I can think of that you can give thanks for everything is if you truly believe Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, those who are called according to His purpose. Good things, bad things, all things working together for your spiritual good. Therefore, you can thank God always for all things. Say amen. That's what spiritually people do, according to Paul. Right? Notice here verse 21. Submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. Do you know that is a characteristic of being Spirit-filled as well? Singing to one another. Say amen. Teaching one another, admonishing one another, instructing one another through the singing of the church. Congregationally. Not individually, congregationally, singing instructing one another, apologizing when you're done, right? And then thanking God, being grateful to God always for all things, not complaining, not grumbling, not whining, not fussing, and then submitting ourselves to one another in fear of God. The word submitting here is a military term. It is a picture of soldiers who line up under the authority of a commanding officer. Paul uses it here to tell us that spirit-filled people, do not fight for position and don't insist on their rights. Spirit-filled people are unselfish people. Say amen. Do you know when I see myself getting selfish and self-centered, I know that I'm not filled with the Spirit? Say amen. Spirit-filled people are unselfish people who know how to submit to one another. Somebody said this, I thought it was pretty good. The law of kingdom authority is to get over what the Lord has put you under. And to do that, you must get under what the Lord has put over you. Say amen. Spirit-filled Christians practice mutual submission to one another out of fear or reverence for God. And the reason that we don't submit to each other is because we think we're better than that. I'm better than Bob, so I don't submit to him. I'm the pastor. I don't submit to anyone. That's not what the Bible says. I'm to submit to you. Say amen. Because it has nothing to do with you. I'm to submit to you for Christ's sake. Say amen. Because of my reverence, my love for Christ. This is what Paul says. Spirit-filled worship looks like, and God only accepts spiritual-filled worship. I was reading a book on worship, and the whole premise is that the writer is being facetious when they say that worship is a waste of time. But if we're not going to do it the way God commands it to be done, it is a tremendous waste of time. Right? So this is what Paul says. Paul says, don't be influenced by something else. Be under the authority and the guidance and the direction of the Spirit of God in all things, especially in worship. Yes? And he says here that we are not to be drunk with wine, but all of us, all believers, are to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I think that being filled, how we are to be filled with the Spirit of God is by submitting to the Scripture, submitting to the Word of God. When I find a Scripture that I just will not submit myself to, I know I'm not being spiritually filled. But as I read Scripture, as I hear Scripture preached and taught, as I set myself under the Word, I think that I become more spiritually filled. Say amen. Now, I'm going to say something, and I don't want you to think harshly of me. I'm not saying this to brag or to... I'm just saying this. We have Sunday school, right? We have different men teaching Sunday school, adults. And you can go to the men's class, or you can come to the auditorium class, or whatever class there is. I'm guessing that as the pastor who's studying the Scriptures every week for three services, that I could say, I really don't need to be in Sunday school. But I don't say that, do I? As a pastor of this church, I submit myself to those who are teaching the Word of God, because I know being under the Word of God is important for even me. Say amen. And I have never been in a Sunday school class that God did not help me in some way. Say amen. May not be even the thought that the teacher was trying to bring out. Maybe God directed me another way. Give me another thought. But I've never sat under the Word of God that I wasn't helped. That I didn't learn something. That I didn't see something more clearer or better. Because being under the Word, being hearing the Word preached, taught, being under the Word is what helps in being Spirit-filled. And then, like it or not, you guys, I'm singing aloud. Say amen. Singing from the overflow of my heart, because God has been good to me. And working on thanking God more publicly and submitting to each other more often. That's what is acceptable worship to God. At least that's what he says in Scripture. Say amen. And I believe Scripture has it right. And here's the thing, guys. When my life or my practice doesn't line up with Scripture, it needs to line up with Scripture. I need to adjust things so that it lines up with Scripture. If I have forgotten, if I have gotten off course, which we often do, now that I hear it, now that I know it, I've got to get back on this track. This is the track I've got to get on. Say amen. Because if I just blow it off, there's no way I'm filled with the Spirit. Say amen. So, may God help us to worship Him the way that He has directed us to worship Him. And when we sing, sing. Doesn't matter about your voice. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Apologize to them when it's over with. But sing loudly from your heart and instruct them. Instruct them in the Word of God. Say amen. Listen, I've been to men's pastors' conferences where there has been no instruments, but the men lift up their voices singing the song so loudly that you can't miss the message of the songs. Say amen. And understand this. The older we get, the less we hear. So you got to sing loud for some of us to hear. But singing is not just something we do to pass time. Singing, according to Paul, is instructive, admonishing. That's what we ought to do. You open that song book or you look at the song on the screen and you say, all right, I am going to sing and instruct those who are around me about the goodness and the greatness of who God is. Amen? Let's pray.